Hello and welcome to the Innovation Forum podcast for Friday 20th of November with me, Ian Welsh. Recently, I spoke with Tato Biggio, CEO of UBQ Materials Israel, about his company's exciting process that can convert waste into thermoplastic material that can take the place of traditional plastic in products manufacturing. Could this be a game-changing intervention into the plastics debate? Stay listen to find out. That's coming up shortly, but first is some sustainable business news. Consumer brands giant Unilever has announced a new future food strategy that commits the company to halving food waste in its operations by 2025 and significantly boosting the proportion of non-meat and dairy alternative products in its range. It aims for €1 billion in annual sales of plant-based meat and dairy products over the coming decade. This will be delivered in part by a ramping up of its Vegetarian Butcher brand, which it acquired in 2018. Already, Vegetarian Butcher is working as the chosen supplier of Burger King's plant-based Whopper and Nuggets in Europe, Middle East and Africa. And Unilever's push for more plant-based products coincides with an aim to double the product range that deliver positive nutrition by 2025. So expect Unilever brands to continue to reduce salt, sugar and overall calories. Last week's announcement that the incoming Biden administration in the US has a $1.7 trillion green recovery package to be rolled out was followed up this week by the UK government's similar 10-point plan. Costing a more modest £12 billion, the scheme includes headline-grabbing moves such as banning the sale of new petrol and diesel cars by 2030, a quadrupling of offshore wind power this decade so that it would be sufficient to power every UK home by 2030, and investment into hydrogen production and new nuclear power. The plan was launched with a promise to create hundreds of thousands of jobs in the UK as the country works towards its net zero by 2050 target. Environmental group Greenpeace welcomed the plan, calling the measures an historic turning point, though criticised the plans for nuclear power. Opposition politicians said that the plan lacked ambition and risked neither properly targeting the climate emergency nor tackling the emerging crisis in the employment markets caused by the pandemic. And that it reheated old policies, meaning that there was actually only £4 billion of new spending. The Labour opposition has a post-pandemic green recovery plan that would involve spending £30 billion over 18 months. And the world's development banks are also getting into the green recovery bandwagon with a new pledge to combine their efforts to build the world's low-carbon economy. While the banks have not gone so far as collectively agreeing to cease all fossil fuel finance or set out clear targets for actual funding numbers, it is surely another climate-positive move. The latest corporate human rights benchmark from the World Benchmarking Alliance has found that almost half of the 229 of the world's largest companies in the study were unable to demonstrate that they were protecting human rights in line with the UN's guiding principles, either proving that they were in breach or providing no information at all. Overall, there was no improvement from last year's benchmark. Companies scoring particularly badly include Starbucks, Prada, Macy's and Gazprom. As a sector, automotive was found to be poorly performing. The WBA says that there seems to be a reluctance on the part of the laggards to improve and called for more regulatory intervention. Tackling human rights and poverty is a key part of many commodity certification schemes, including that from the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil. A new study in journal Nature has investigated how the RSPO's certified sustainable palm oil has impacted producer communities in terms of human rights and farmer income. The conclusion? It's not clear. The researchers contend that the impacts are determined on whether the local economy is market-based or subsistence. The most positive impact is found in villages with primarily market-based livelihoods, and the report argues that additional resources may be required for certification to have the most positive impact on previously subsistence farms. The Innovation Forum team is working on our spring event series at the moment, which will include our Future of Food and Sustainable Apparel conferences, plus a new event focusing on business and climate. Look out for full details coming out shortly. If you want to get involved in these events, do get in touch. Speaker and partnership opportunities are available now, but are limited. And we're also continuing with the work of our Action Research project into smallholder farmers and developing some new research for the apparel sector. A few days ago, I spoke with UBQ Materials' Tato Biggio about the company's waste-to-new process that creates a thermoplastic material which can take the place of traditional petroleum-based plastics in the creation of, potentially, thousands of products. Why don't you start us off by giving us an introduction to UBQ Materials and what it is that you guys do?
UBQ Materials was founded in 2012 with the idea of using the entirety of the household waste that typically ends up in landfills to convert all those streams together without the need of separation into a usable material for the industry. In 2016, we completed the development, and in 2018, we became commercial, meaning that we started selling a new thermoplastic material. It is a new plastic material, which is made out of food waste, cardboard, paper, diapers, chicken bones, banana peels, and now some of the masks that we all throw in the bin, converting it into this new thermoplastic we call UBQ, to be used by industry instead of the common existing plastics that are made out of oil. Just ours is made out of waste.
Tell me, what exactly then is the product that your process produces?
We invented a new process technology that knows how to handle the heterogeneity material that you have in household waste, which includes all the streams I just mentioned before, together. And by a process that involves the separation of the natural components and then the creation of a new bonding matrix out of them, being able to come with a homogeneous, consistent thermoplastic that can be used by the plastic industry to make end products. For example, we sell our pellets, our little pellets, just like polypropylene and polyethylene is sold by the petrochemical plants, to the manufacturers of end product, plastic products, so that they can do chairs, tables, and any other plastic product that you can imagine.
Once you've taken the waste streams that you mentioned and you've converted it into your product, your UBQ material, what's left over? Is there anything left over at the end of the process?
One of the interesting things about UBQ is that in the process, we don't have any sludges and any leftovers. The only thing that we do is before getting into the reaction process where we do this conversion is taking out metals and minerals. Metals are valuable and highly recyclable, as well as minerals. So therefore, once we take them out and sell them back to the recyclers, all the other stuff basically is converted. We don't use any water. We work with temperatures below 220 degrees centigrade, which is comparatively low to petrochemical industries. We don't have any waste or sludges in the process because everything is converted.
How important is the balance of different materials in the waste stream that you use in your feedstock? I mean, obviously, waste for landfill can be very different in different locations depending on what sort of curbside recycling there is, for example.
Exactly. We use typically a proportion between what we call organics and mixed plastics, waste mixed plastics. Organics for us is foodstuff, cardboard, paper, and mixed plastic is the end result of companies having taken whatever plastics they could, like bottles of PET or some polypropylene out of it. But a lot of the mixed plastics, multi-layers, packaging, which ends up in landfill, is part of our process. We do take care of it. So we really avoid the landfill of all these materials. The proportions, when you go to the big numbers, are very similar. Typically, in major cities, take New York, take Tel Aviv, take Amsterdam, or even take countries in Asia, the proportion between organics, meaning foodstuff, cardboard, paper, and plastics, meaning all these mixed streams of plastics that end up being thrown into landfills, is about between 70-30 to 80-20. Within those parameters is where the UBQ process works. Now, if inside the organic waste, today we have a little more paper and tomorrow we have a little more foodstuff, the fact is that since we work in batches and we mix batches all the time, statistically we end up having a very consistent result. The tolerance in the plastic industry exists. So if you run by 1% here or there, nothing happens. Yet again, we take the waste from the big numbers, not from each one's house, but from the central stations. Once you pick that, the statistic is incredibly similar. We do calibrate our process to Tel Aviv. We will calibrate the process for New York. We will calibrate the process for Amsterdam. As examples, we are able then, through the mixing of different batches, to secure a very homogeneous and consistent material to our clients. This is the fact. 2 years we're selling material. It's working very well.
Presumably, you could add in more organic materials, say, if, say, the balance wasn't quite right in some other place, you could get the ability to add in material to get the balance correct.
You're absolutely right. Luckily for us in the waste industry, as you know, there is some separation at source. There are a lot of streams that end up separated without any use. We could take those streams and, as you say, balance the different proportions we may need. So it's absolutely possible.
What can your material be used for? What traditional plastics can it replace?
What we're working today is with durable products. We sell our material to the car industry. One of our big customers today is Mercedes-Benz. We sell it to the construction industry for pipes, for sidings, for paneling, for flooring. We sell it to the durable household goods to create tables, tops, chairs, flower pots. And we have a new line that is for 3D printing, which basically converted into any end product. So we're working majorly with durable products. We're not working today with packaging materials. So we're not doing bags, or we are not doing food packaging. We're supporting the bulk of the plastic industry, the three main polymers that are there, which represent 70-85% of the plastics. Those are the places where we are. We're not today in packaging and food contact. The reason is that this is a very lengthy process, very expensive. And since there's so much plastic being used in those durable industries, we leave that headache for the next step.
Could it eventually be used for food packaging, for example?
Today, we're producing trays for McDonald's. Basically, we're selling our material to the producers of McDonald's trays. And we have gone through the testing required for this type of materials, and we're perfectly okay. When you go to food contact, straight food contact, like packaging meat or packaging cheese, then you need to go to the next level. I believe that in the future, because UBQ can deliver that solution, we will enter into that area. Yet again, remember, we're a new company. We need to consolidate ourselves. There are enormous markets. If you talk about bins, pallets, pipes, furniture, I mean, you're talking about millions and millions of tons of plastics where we can really deliver today a good solution without the hassle of going through an FDA a lengthy and expensive process. But we will do that eventually, because we do want to be present in, obviously, in every market.
How recyclable are products made using UBQ materials?
UBQ material can be mixed with different plastics. It can be mixed with polypropylene, with polyethylene, with polyesterine, with PVC, something which is truly unique because, as you may know, plastics don't mix between themselves. And the reason is that we're not a polymer. We're a composite made from a new organically based thermoplastic composite. So once UBQ is inside a polypropylene product, and that polypropylene product will be inserted in the recycled stream of other polypropylene products, as you may imagine, UBQ is already part of that first product. It can be part of the next generation. One very good thing about UBQ is its recyclability is even better, because when you recycle plastics, typically after one or two rounds, you start losing a lot of the mechanical properties because the chains start separating. We're not a polymer. We're not a chain of monomers. So our material is highly recyclable. We can recycle time and time again without losing properties. We have tested that 5, 6, 7, 8 times, and only then we start losing properties, which is absolutely outstanding in this market.
So in the recycling process then, is your material separated from the polypropylene, for example?
No. Imagine that there is a plastic pallet, okay, made with UBQ inside. You're using polypropylene and you're using UBQ inside that pallet. 50%, 50%. Now that pallet goes to the recycle stream. You will take all these other polypropylene pallets and mix them with this pallet that has UBQ inside. It will naturally mix and become part of the stream. If you're talking about different streams of polypropylene, not only these certain pallets, but other polypropylene products from different industries separated and mixed together, yet again, the presence of UBQ is naturally part of it because we blend with the plastic. So we in any way interfere with the recyclability of the stream.
Can products be made entirely from UBQ materials?
Depending on the plastic application, today the market is built around the different polymers. So different industries use different polymers, and they have adapted their molds and their processes to that specific plastic. Here comes UBQ, which is a new thermoplastic that can be blended with these other plastics and can deliver a very strong sustainable value proposition, as you know, because we're a circular, sustainable, bio-based, climate positive material. But remember, all these products were designed for a certain material. And here comes UBQ. If we want to use 100% of the material, you will need to adapt your process and your mold. We don't want to do that. We want to be as generic as we can. So there are products where you can use 25% UBQ. There are products where you can use 80% UBQ. Eventually, once the industry will get used to UBQ and we will become a big name in the industry and have many more plants, the industry will start creating also molds for UBQ that will adapt to the natural characteristics of our material, and then you will be able to deliver 100% UBQ. Yet again, having 25 or 50% UBQ in any product means that you are reducing that amount of plastic from the system. That means that you are creating a big difference.
Fascinating. Have you done life cycle analysis and how your product compares with petroleum-based plastics?
Yes. We are working with one of the leading LCA certification companies in the world. It's Quantis. They are from Switzerland. It was a lengthy process. Our LCA shows that for every ton of UBQ that is used, we're saving the planet close to 12 tons of CO2 emissions equivalent. Compared to polypropylene, for example, which is a very common plastic, polypropylene is plus 2.5. So for every ton of polypropylene produced, they create 2.5. We save 12. We are a climate positive material or a carbon negative material. Okay, it's the same coin with from the other side. We're a climate positive material. We're the most climate positive material today available in the world. And therefore, by mixing a certain amount of UBQ material in your end product, say 15 or 20%, you can already neutralize your carbon footprint. If you use more UBQ, then you're all of a sudden creating end products that are carbon negative, which is unheard of today. And that value proposition is enormous. And that is why we're also commanding so much interest from the very big companies and brands. And it's a blessing for not only for UBQ, but for the world.
So your product is significantly lower impact. How do you compare on price?
What we are promising our customers is that they will not need to increase their price by a penny. So for the same cost of materials, they will be getting all these sustainable advantages, let's say, for free. That enables us to penetrate the market in big scale, because one of the very important things for our customers is they don't want to increase their price. Sustainability is important to them, but they really want to keep their prices competitive. So we're coming with that competitive proposition, but we're delivering all this enormous value that no other material can deliver.
Your process sounds great. So how hard has it been to convince others that it actually can work?
Look, if you would ask me this question, I don't know, 2 years ago, it was a little more difficult to answer it because we didn't have yet the list of clients that we have today, which went through a very thorough due diligence, technical, scientific, health and safety process with us. As you may know, we're working today with Mercedes-Benz. We have a partnership with Mainetti, which is the leading cloth packaging and a plastic hanger company in the world. It has been announced a few days ago. We're working with McDonald's, and there are a number of other companies that will be announcing hopefully soon, some of them in the car industry, some of them in the durable products industries. But all these big companies are a great reference for our material, so it makes our life easy. We also have a very strong international advisory board in UBQ that I think gives a lot of comfort and credibility to what we are doing. And these people really came into UBQ when they saw that we were really the real thing, and all this thing of too good to be true disappears once you come to the factory and see it happening. We have a Nobel Prize winner in chemistry, Professor Roger Comberg of Stanford, 2008. We have the former Commissioner for Climate Action of the European Union. Her name is Connie Hedegaard. She's a Danish prominent lady and really a very nice person to work with. We have John Elkington from England. He's considered the godfather of sustainability. He coined the people, planet, profit term, and today everybody is using it. Well, this is the guy that invented it, and he's on our board. I think this plus that, plus the fact that whenever our clients come to us and they ask for certifications, validations, laboratory reports, well, they see that everything is in line and everything is in accordance to what they expect to receive. We're very thorough. We're very professional. We were working very quietly until 2018. Nobody knew we were doing what we were doing. We spent 6 years without talking and without saying anything because we really wanted to amass all these certifications and validations so that when we come to market and people ask us questions, we have already the answers certified by international reputable companies. I think that what I told you already says a lot, but the fact that the market is just pushing more and more UBQ into it is just saying it, speaking louder than me.
What's the potential scale then? What does the future look like for UBQ materials?
When we started the company, we couldn't have dreamed of being in this place because you see so many hurdles. But yet again, we really wanted to create this technology on a global scale because we believe that it's not only about the business, it's about doing something enormously important for the planet and our future generations. I think that everybody would love to be involved in such a situation where you have also a good business and also you're doing something good. And therefore, it is our aim to expand this technology as much as we can and as fast as we can. And we're working today with very big international groups, conglomerates that are want to partner with UBQ in the expansion of this technology worldwide. There is no problem in expanding the technology because this is a modular system. So you can put it in any country, basically, where you have waste and create UBQ material. Of course, you need to clean it. Of course, you need to process it. Of course, you need engineers and lab people and very good professionals to do what we do. This is a quite high-tech process, but these are normal challenges that the industry faces. Our aim is to expand all over the world. That is why we also registered patents that are already granted in every country you can imagine. So the plan of UBQ is very ambitious, and yet we just started. So it will take some time because building factories is a story of building one factory takes at least 1 year. So yeah, expansion plan is there.
It's a fascinating story, and I look forward to following your expansion and your world domination with interest. But for now, Tato from UBQ Materials, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for this opportunity.
As ever, look out at innovationforum.co.uk for all the usual audio, interviews and insights and reporting from the recent Innovation Forum conferences on the future of plastics and sustainable landscapes and commodities. But that's all for now. I've been Ian Welsh, and I'll be back next week.